Good morning. It is good to be with you here this morning. Good to gather in the house of God, of worship and prayer. And I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. May His peace, love, and grace be with us. My name is Larry Kaler, all the way from Austin, Manitoba. This morning I want to open up with 8 verses out of Psalm 62. And David writes a psalm, and he talks about God. He says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bow in wall shall ye be, as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. They curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. Is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. When I think about what David wrote here, he is exalting God. God is his rock. I think about many people might place their strength or their refuge in something very temporal. But I wonder, have you ever tried to move a big rock? It's impossible. Our strength fails us. See, David makes this comparison as God is my rock. That means he doesn't move. He's stable. And David says, that's why I can trust in him. Some people may trust or look at a person. Maybe it's a hockey player or a singer, and they may follow them closely, but they move. They're not very stable. That's a poor refuge. But God is a rock. Let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we think about who you are. As David wrote here in Psalm 62, you are a rock. Solid, firm. And as we think about putting our trust in you, I'm so glad that we can do that because of who you are. When you created this earth, the world, you spoke it into existence. And when you created us as mankind, you gave us your spirit, and we became a living soul. And therefore, we are special to you. And I just thank you for remembering us when we sinned, when we fell in disobedience. But you remembered us and provided us a way back into fellowship with you. That way was sending the ultimate sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ. And today, when we think about putting our trust in you, in the work of what Jesus did, I just thank you that we can have the peace and forgiveness that Christ gave to us, has given us. And Lord, this morning as we worship you in song and listen to your word, may we just be encouraged and strengthened when we go out from here that we can walk in your ways. We can do what is good, and we can be a light because we have hope. We have hope that we will have eternal life with you. The life that we now live on this earth is we are reminded, it is a very short time. And yet you have placed us here to be a light for you. Thank you for your word that encourages us, that admonishes us, and that directs us. And thank you for remembering us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we'll begin with a few songs.
From the Red Book, number 304, Haste and On. 304.
Towards the goal. 385, work for the night is coming. Number 385.
Work for the night is coming.
Thank you for your singing. Last time I was here was in January for this English service, and I talked about the fear of God. I don't know how many remember that. But to fear God is like I had in my opening here, is to reverence God as the ultimate creator and ruler. And just coming under Him and realizing how holy and yet how loving and compassionate He is. If we read through the Old Testament, sometimes we might get a picture, oh, he's harsh. But we have to understand that He is a God. That we, you and I, can turn to. Just like we read David, he had this relationship with God. In verse 7, he says, "In God is my salvation." I think before we can really truly fear God, We need to recognize that we need Him. What would life be like without God? Would be no life. My message today is God is our refuge. What is a refuge? It's a place, somewhere to go and seek. Could be shelter, could be a safe place. Maybe it's a safe haven for protection. Maybe it's a special place for the seeker to find complete satisfaction. I believe everyone at some time in their life seeks a refuge from something or someone. I'm sure you have a story. I have a story. Maybe some of us are stuck in a rut. Maybe we're tired of the routine of life. Where do you go? Where do you go to be restored and invigorated to live for God? I want to look at a few things this morning. On the physical side, we look at a refuge. Maybe it's our home. A place where we go and we take off our shoes and our jackets and feel right at home. But maybe not. Maybe we walk in the door and we're greeted with arguing and fighting, and so then it doesn't become a place of refuge. We're so fortunate today, but what about if a missile flew in here today and blew the whole building apart? Times of war. We think of our physical refuge. When we're in need, we seek that. I'm sure most of us slept in a warm house last night. Did you think of there's people in the streets that slept outside? That got rained on? Maybe they moved during the night to find a drier place. Or maybe if those people in Israel or Gaza, a bomb fell in the midst of their street. Those are all physical refugees that I'm talking about. And I bring this up today is because very often we get so comfortable. Where we are, and we don't think about the other side. What if all those things that we place, our physical refuges, were gone? Is it the end of your life? You still have a soul, a heart. In Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 57 and 58, it tells us that Jesus, the Son of Man, did not have a place to lay his head. Jesus is looking towards not an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. He's not looking for a mansion on earth. He's looking for his Heavenly Father to be with him. I'm not saying today that it's wrong to have a nice home, a place from shelter. But I want to make you think today that if those physical things disappear, you still have hope. I'm going to talk about the spiritual refuge after this, but when David wrote many of his psalms, he was fleeing death. Someone was trying to kill him. It was usually Saul. I want to turn to the book of 1 Samuel. And this was very real. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 10 to 24. It says, And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with a javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. And Saul sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. So Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. See, David here is fleeing for his life. He escaped Saul's spear. His wife says, "You need to leave, because my dad's going to kill you." Verse 13, and Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when David sent messengers, when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with the pillows of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said to Michal, "Why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy that he is escaped?" And Michal answered Saul and said unto me, "Let me go. Why should I kill thee?" So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel in Ramah and told him all that Saul had done unto him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naanoth. And I want to stop there. David was fleeing Where did he flee to? He was looking for a safe place. He went to Samuel. What did Samuel have? Samuel was a man of God. A safe place. Just an example. In 1 Samuel 24, verse 1, it says that David hid in a cave. I won't go there and read it, but again, he was looking for a safe place, a refuge. And God was with him, protected him. On numerous occasions, David could have killed Saul. But David respected Saul because God had placed Saul king over that nation. And God was protecting David because David would be the next king. Today I ask you, in your physical refuge, what do you focus on? I want to turn to the spiritual refuge. David knew this also. As I read in Psalm 62, God is my salvation. Is your soul at rest, at peace? Has it found a refuge? If it has not, then there is no peace. There is no peace. I want to maybe relate my own life a little bit. And I gave my life to the Lord when I was 15 years old. And before that, there was an absence of peace. In fact, many times there was conflict. Just did not have an inner peace. And it came to a point one night where there was a war for my life. Satan wanted it, and Jesus also wanted it. And I was offered, in my lowest time of my life, Jesus offered me, he says, come to me, I will help you. And it changed my life forever. I want to turn to Psalms chapter 16. Verse 10 and 11. Psalm 16, verse 10 and 11. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What is this saying to us? He says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. David is talking about a God who will not let him perish. Who will be gracious to him and save him. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Have you ever wondered or thought, God, why don't you show me exactly where to go? Just draw me a map and I'll follow it, right? He has. He says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. But I'm going to talk about a problem yet that we have. That's why we don't see it clearly. And David says, In thy presence is fullness of joy. See, when I gave my life to Jesus, there was joy in my heart. In fact, I tried to hide that joy, and my principal says, what happened to you last night? I said, nothing. He says, oh yeah, I can see it. When we get into the presence of God, He puts joy in our heart. He gives us a purpose. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Just think about that. I want you to think about if you've had children, if they're in your presence, beside you. How does that make you feel? Full of joy? My little grandsons will come, Grandpa, can I have a Smartie? What do? We give them good, right? Give them that Smartie. Now picture this, when we enter into the presence of God, He wants to give us good things. He takes pleasure in us. And when I talk about a refuge, then He wants to place our hearts, our souls at peace. But the enemy comes and he wants to snatch that peace away, that joy away. He doesn't like to have us to have that joy. One great example in the Old Testament is Job. Job was living his life. It tells us in the first part of the book of Job that he walked away from evil. He did that which was good. Somebody wasn't happy with that. In Job chapter 1, verse 7, he says, And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? See, Satan came before God. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, From coming to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And actually God suggested, Have you looked at Job? How he's serving me? And if you read the rest of it, God tests him. And he allows Satan to test him. And he did. He tested him severely to the fact that Job wanted to die. And then he says, though my Redeemer slay me, yet will I trust him. See, Job had experienced enough of God that he could not leave him. And that is my challenge for us today. Have you experienced God in such a special way that if you had to sit in boils, sores, scraping yourself and itching, would you say, God, I'm not leaving you? Would you say, God, I put my whole trust in you? See, that is when the test comes. When on the physical, outside physical, when life seems almost unbearable, to the point of, I wished I had never been born, to say, God, I will continue to trust in you. Why? Because I know that you want the best for me. This life is temporal, it's short, but yet it can feel so long. But God wants you and I to trust him in all areas. Before we continue into the second part, as we have custom of doing, I want to offer you a time of silent prayer. If you're able to, join me on bended knee at this time. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to number 483, He the Pearly Gates Will Open. 483. For those that are able, let's stand.
Of time, He the pearly
Pearly gates will open. When we think about putting our heart into a safe place, with that comes a level of trust. See, when we want to trust someone else, how do we build that trust? We have to spend some time with that person, right? We have to learn to open up, to learn to share. When we put a trust in a person, we're most likely liable at some, or it will happen at some point where that trust is going to be put to the test. That person may say something or do something, and it's going to bother us. It may bother us deeply. And so when we think about our souls, our hearts, and putting that in a safe place, we realize that, you know, Jesus paid the price, and he wants us to give him our heart. And he gives us his Spirit so that we have this connection with him. And then we give him time. Time. How many of you consider Jesus as your friend? How many of you said good morning to Jesus this morning? In fact, I'll make you feel a little uneasy right now. How much time did you visit with your friend this week? Many of us, we probably feel a little awkward if we to spend half an hour a day. Do you know that about 20 minutes is only 1% of the time you have each day? 1%. When I think about building that friendship with our Savior, and yet, for some reason, we don't find that time. The statistic is that the average person spends about 2.6 hours on their phones every day. we have time to watch a movie. But we don't have 20 minutes of time to spend with our Savior. If we don't have time to spend with Him, how are we going to build a level of trust with Him? If I spent only 20 minutes a day with my wife, she'd feel rather cheated. If I came home and says, I got 20 minutes and then I'm leaving again, every day, she would not be happy. I don't think most of you women would be happy either. I just want to put this all in reality. If I only got 20 minutes with my wife every day, I wouldn't be happy. And yet we treat Jesus that way. We treat our Heavenly Father that way. See, in order to have Jesus as our ultimate refuge, we need to spend that time with Him. We often sing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And yet we ignore, I think it's sometimes just words we say. We need to put them to action. And I want to encourage us today because, you know, our world is not very stable. Yesterday when we drove home, someone was saying, oh, maybe they mentioned, how long do you think we'll have our money that we have today? Well, I buy gold and I buy silver, one said. You know what, I don't think gold tastes very good. Because when you're hungry, and silver, I don't know, probably doesn't taste any better. God used a raven to feed Elijah. And He says, when we are His children and we are in His presence, there's fullness of joy. He reminds us that He will take care of us. Now, I want to encourage us today, if we want a refuge, we need to spend time with the person that can provide us that refuge. And I want to use Jesus as an example this morning. I want to turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus. Early in the morning. I don't know what a great while before day is. 2-3 hours before the sun comes out. He went to a solitary place. But what happened before this? Where was Jesus the day before? Let's go back to verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and Anon, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were pressed with devils, or possessed, sorry, and all the city gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. When did he go to sleep? It says, in the evening, many came, the whole city came. Did he go to sleep at 2 or 3 in the morning? And early in the morning, rising a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. He was exhausted. My flesh would hit the snooze button and say, I need more sleep. Jesus, in his moment of tiredness, spent time with his Heavenly Father. Isn't that a great example for us? There's times, maybe many times, in your life and mine that we feel so tired. But do we think to spend the time with Jesus? I want to turn to Matthew chapter 14. Verse 13. He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. What did Jesus hear? His friend's head was cut off. John the Baptist's head was cut off while he was in prison. This is what he heard. He was grieving. It says he departed into a ship, to a desert place. To spend time with his Heavenly Father. I wonder, when we're grieving, do we go to our Heavenly Father? It was a hard day for him. But it says the people followed him. Great multitudes followed him. And if you read it further, he feeds the 5,000 people. I want to turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that there went out into, that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. I don't know if you've, have you ever prayed all night? I had a daughter. Was very concerned about it. And I was kneeling and praying in my office. Just pleading with God that the Holy Spirit would speak to her. Because I saw some things that were going to damage her body. She was not eating. And I prayed till 3, 4 in the morning. You know what? God, that's what God is waiting for. For you and I. So what was the situation here with Jesus? He was about to pick 12 men to be his disciples. He prayed all night. Maybe you have an urgent matter before you. Can you spend that time with him? I want to use one more example. Find it in Mark chapter 14. This was really the most difficult time in Jesus' life. Mark 14 and verse 32 to 36. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So what was the case? Death was right before Jesus. Have you ever had death right before your eyes? But it was probably someone else. Where would we find you if you knew in 3 hours from now your life is going to die? Where would you be? See, we don't know that, but I'm asking the question. If you could know that at 3 o'clock this afternoon you were going to die, what would you do? This was where Jesus was. Would we cry out to God? Would we say, Abba, Father? Would we beg and plead with him? And so I'm asking you, encouraging you today. Can we spend some time with our best friend? We know the world is in chaos. But God is still a rock. He hasn't moved. We can trust him. We can go to him. And we can actually open up our hearts and cry unto him. And he will hear us. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are so great that you have allowed us to come to you. We can share with you our struggles, whether it's grief or suffering or sickness. Or maybe it's a child that we're concerned about. And you will hear us. You will listen to us. Lord, help us to trust you. To place our full faith and confidence in you. You may not remove our suffering or grief, but you will help us to go through that. Just as Jesus went to the cross. You did not remove that cup from him. But you were with him. And you will be with us. Lord, you know what's happening in the life of each one here. I don't know that. But you know. And I pray for each one here that in their special place of need, that you would touch them with a a peace and a joy that can only come from you. And may you just bless this congregation with a desire to spend more time with you. And that we can grow and be a light. And that we can be part of that rock that is immovable. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we kneel again for prayer, I have a prayer request. Pray for Neil and Eva Peters. Eva had a heart and lung transplant, on November 4th in Edmonton, Alberta. She is awake. Now the doctors said she is doing okay, but has pneumonia. Please pray for healing and strength for them. Let's bring Eva and Neil to the throne of God for healing. So let's kneel again in silent prayer. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
From the Blue Book, page 302, Whosoever Will. 302.
Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever.
517. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's all stand.
Morning. Thank you, Brother Larry, for that amazing message. Thank you for reminding us that we ought to spend more time with Jesus. I also want to thank you, song leaders, for that special number at the end there. Very much appreciated. It was very fitting. Thank you. Just some announcements. Men's breakfast is coming up. So all men, young and old, are welcome to come. This is in Plum Coulee, and it's coming up Saturday, November 18th at 9 a.m. at Meadows Grill. And breakfast is very good. So George makes a very tasty breakfast. So you're welcome to come and join us. And then also, as you guys have noticed in the bulletin, they're still needing a sound man. So if there's anybody who's interested in and willing to help out in church, they still need a sound man. And then coming up this Wednesday, November 15th, at the Bible study that we have here in the evening, it starts at 7:30. Bishop Isaac Fair from Seminole, Texas is going to be here. And he's going to be bringing forward a message. So you guys are all welcome to come and listen to Bishop Isaac Fair. And I just saw congratulations here for Kendall and Edna Clausen. They had a baby girl. And congratulations to them. And there's the shoe boxes. They're due today. So if anybody is... Preparing shoe boxes for the Christmas shoe box drive, I guess, in Sunday school or otherwise. They're due today and they will be delivered on Wednesday. And anyone that has missed an opportunity to get their picture taken for the new directory, please call Agatha Clausen at 204-325-5678. We have one last photo session Tuesday, November 14th. So if anybody has missed an opportunity for a photo session, you can contact Agatha Clausen, and she thanks you in advance. And talking about prayer, how we always ask for prayer. There is Terry and Eva, Abe and Helen, Helen Wall, and we visited Catherine Friesen, the wife of the late George Friesen. She's also asking for prayer, and she says she can feel it when you guys pray. So you don't know the power of God, and we should never underestimate the power of God. So keep them in your prayers. And then there's a table in the back there where we have some cards. Give care, not made. So I'm not sure how many of you know what MADE stands for. MADE stands for Medical Assistance in Dying. So there is an informational paper in the back there on the table, just for you to grab, take home, and read. But there we also have a card that we would like you to put your mailing address in the top corner. And then it doesn't need a stamp for mailing, so you just need to put your mailing address in there. There's also a section here that you guys can just, if you want to write a message and mail it. And that is that we support the culture of life. So we don't want to support MADE, Medical Assistance in Dying. We support life, we support purpose of life and the purpose of living. There is enough chaos in the world where people are contemplating suicide. And if it ain't that suicide, then using MADE. So we would like you all to take a card and fill it out and send it away. And then just another short reminder of what's in your bulletins. There's an insert about the membership, that the suggested membership fee has gone up slightly to $400 a year. So thank you.
Thank you for those announcements. Thank you for having me. Thank you for listening to the Word of God. And whatever I've added in between there, may it just be an encouragement for you. Just think about the friend we have in Jesus. Let us bow for the benediction we find in the book of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. May God be with you till we meet again.